PM that's highlighted now.
Okay.
I'm not sure, the other person was iPhone.
Oh, okay.
Okay, well, we'll call the meeting to order. 10:07. 10:05, sorry.
Okay.
So I guess the first one here, Tammy, is Jim Carrier, who apparently we missed yesterday, right?
Yes, there was a technical issue with the record of who was speaking and who wasn't. So Mr. Carrier's name was omitted, although he had been assigned a time. So he is here to speak before any other business today. Mr. Carrier?
Yes, yes.
You're
You're on.
You're on.
Okay, thanks, and thanks for allowing me to speak. I've certainly, based on yesterday's discussion, I've certainly had to revamp my discussion. A little bit about myself. My name's Jim Carrier. I did work for SaskTel for 35 years, had a good career with them. That doesn't mean that I'm pro SaskTel every which way. I've had issues with SaskTel throughout my experience with technology, but I think what I've heard from yesterday's discussion is that clearly, and some of these things I don't think you'll like, and it may offend people, but observing what I heard yesterday, I think we've all dug ourselves a deep hole. So let's not look back, but let's look forward. I think the reputation of the RM and really the reputation of the council is certainly under the microscope. A little bit of history. I started SaskTel, and when we had multi-party lines, and that's kind of shows my age, but I remember the times when the government imposed that the rural community was going to get private line. Every rural customer was expected to pay $400. $400 back in the mid 70s is about $2,000, $3,000, $4,000. Can you imagine if, you know, the people of that day, the decision makers, decided not to go with that, you know, private service? Gas project. Remember the gas project up here? Many people opposed that. Now they wish they would have taken it. Another thing, I'm currently on the Catholic School Board in Saskatoon, so I've got a little bit of experience about with board operations, politics, dealing with constituents, electorate. And, you know, if everybody looked at their tax notice and their assessment, you know, on an average bill of $2,000-$3,000 for a tax bill, you know, over half of that goes to the education system. And we get countless calls from parents and non-parents or grandparents who don't have kids and are asking, why am I paying taxes? I don't have kids in the school system. So you can see that, you know, we've got a pretty good school system within the province, and, you know, it's more than a user pay. But nonetheless, a little bit about what I heard yesterday. I just want to spend a moment to say what's happening. SaskTel, on their nickel and their dime and their investment, is putting in a fiber cable from the Sunnyside Tower along the highway up to Murray Point. The new tower is going there. And you will notice, as discussed yesterday, that there are some boxes. There's other names for that, but along that highway, there are boxes along the highway. Those boxes were put there for the simple reason that if, and only if, SaskTel is engaged to provide DSL service, they will, with the DSL project, provide fiber from each of those boxes, specific to the McIntosh guys drive area, plow fiber from those boxes to the approach to these beaches. And from there, they will swing the existing telephone plant that now runs back to Christopher Lake. They'll run that cable or aerial cable into those boxes to provide this DSL service. So they have spent no money on DSL today, and we're not obligated to look at that work, but they provided that area. Now, we have fiber. When I say we, I guess that's my old terminology. SaskTel has fiber to all the towers around the beach. And this new tower is simply put at Murray Point to alleviate congestion at the Sunnyside Tower and the tower that is in the Birch Bay area. And that's simply put. Now, when you look at what's happening today, you know, I and what I heard yesterday, you know, the current providers today, just it's questionable. You know, we know that satellite service is an option. It's more of an individual decision. It's 20-year-old technologies, so it's relatively new. It's not I want to watch how I term this, but it's not the best, but it is improving. And it was created simply for remote areas of the world, basically. And as we get more satellites in the air, it will improve. But between the vulnerabilities of the environment, and it is very, you know, somewhat expensive to buy into the equipment, it's an option, but it's not really something that I think the community of and the village of where we live should look at. DSL, yes, it is old technology, but it's only old because we have fiber optics. And fiber optics is today's medium, and it's going to be tomorrow's medium. The fiber optic cable that is being plowed up to the Murray Point Tower has 96 glass tubes in it, 96 fibers. That will provide, and it's incrementally minimal, whether it's two fibers in it or 96 fibers or whatever. So we really have to look at what we're doing. But anyways, what I think, because of the lack of understanding, process and information, I think that council has to sit down with SaskTel. That's management and the ministry. Ministry, we haven't heard anything from the ministry yet. Get some expertise. Ask all the what ifs. Address the funding issues. Ensure that, you know, there has to be a different way. Get other providers. Get their offerings. Let them compare, and let us compare apples to apples. Prepare a brief with recommendations by the committee. And that committee should be comprised of council members and maybe some experts. This bill, letter from Roger Bell is very, very specific, and it seems like he's very knowledgeable, and he'd be a good resource. And then lastly, we have to get everyone to vote. And I know that's going to cause some concern, but let's solicit everyone in the community. Let's get a 90% turnout. Yes, we may have to email people. We may have to phone them, but we have to get everyone involved to make this decision. If we don't, we will be back to ground zero, and you know, respectful of everybody else's thoughts and their what they have. You know, I have ExploreNet. I'm on my hotspot. I spent all morning. My internet wasn't working again.
Jim.
Some people it works. So thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim.
Well, not more than 5 minutes.
Oh, well, there was a few yesterday that went well over that. All right. So, here we sit. So, I guess I'll speak first. Do we know how many people were on yesterday, Tammy? If
at its peak, 140.
And how many speakers? I wrote pretty well all the names.
That
is one.
I think we have 30, but then there's just three that didn't speak. So 27.
So that said, out of those 140 people that spoke, lots of them that I heard yesterday had more than one lot as well. I know Ross in particular has, I don't know what he said, 33. And there were several others that had a couple, not three if I recall. So, yeah, and for the most part, there's only three, I do believe, that spoke in favor of it. But normally, as public hearings go that I've been in, it's usually people that are not happy with what we're doing, of course. Anybody else have any thoughts? I mean, I don't want to keep rambling on here, but.
Oh, I prepared something.
Okay.
So.
Well, let's start around the table.
Yeah, by division?
Yes.
Hi, everyone. Whoever is listening to the public meeting, this is Trina McAlpine, Division One Counselor for Christopher Lake. I believe I have been very clear about my level of frustration with this proposal since it came to us at our first meeting as a new council in September. I also believe that it all started with the survey sent out last August, only weeks prior to us taking office. I feel that was mistake number one. If I could have hit the do-over button then, I would have, but I couldn't, because three of us in this room were not even sitting at this table yet. I reread that August 31st survey letter again last night, and knowing what I know now, I would have had so many more questions back in September. My first question would have been, who initiated the contact with SaskTel? But the survey letter states the District of Lakeland has requested and reviewed a proposal from SaskTel under its community participation program. So that answers that question. My second question is, when did that process actually start? And Tammy, you answered that during yesterday's public meeting, and the answer was way back in 2018. My next question would have been, why did it take so long to get to the survey stage? And further to that, why was the survey sent out 2 days after an election? We have heard from countless ratepayers who have questioned not only the lack of information provided in that survey letter, but also the fact that they truly felt it was a vote. They were stating whether they were for or against this proposal with the simple check of a box, yes or no. I also reread a lot of the correspondence that has come to us since September, and several sentences really stood out to me. The first was in a letter from Roger Bell, when he said, good decisions cannot come from flawed data. And it is true that there were two significant errors in the letters that went out to all of Emma and Christopher Lakes, which stated that the proposal was actually for Anglin Lake. So how many of those letters were read and simply set aside? We will never know that. A second quote that stood out to me is from a Chad Nilsen letter when he asked, why bother spending the time and money to conduct a survey when you ignore the results anyways? I personally find the lack of commitment from SaskTel in this proposal very troubling. SaskTel says users can subscribe to one of two plans, giving them up to 5 or 10 megabyte download, no guarantee, but up to. We asked for a commitment on when we could expect the upgrade to 5010. We were told typically within a year, but again, no commitment. We asked for a commitment on the construction timeline. When would they be able to launch service to every subdivision around the lakes? But again, no real commitment. We asked for an estimate on the cost to proceed with a fiber build instead of DSL. I have it written down in my notes from our conference call with SaskTel that it would be roughly 2.7 million. When we asked for them to put it in writing in order for us to pursue funding under the Universal Broadband Fund, that number magically turned to 9 million. I think it is pretty evident to all of us that not only in the past 6 months, but most certainly from the public hearing yesterday, that one of the major arguments against the SaskTel proposal is that the technology is simply inadequate. I pulled this quote from the Government of Canada's Innovation, Science and Economic Development website. It says, the overwhelming majority of Canada can access broadband at speeds of at least 5 megabytes, but the landscape has shifted. These speeds are now too slow for cloud-based software applications or online learning resources or high-definition streaming videos. They're often too slow to support multiple users. To take full advantage of the opportunities offered by the modern internet, 5010 speeds are necessary. The fact that we were excluded from even applying for federal funds because this proposal with its speeds of 50 or 10.1 is so outdated, should have been a red flag to all of us. The evolution of this industry is literally changing every 6 months. 6 months ago, you couldn't order a Starlink installation kit. 6 months ago, I hadn't heard of ExploreNet's fiber at home initiatives they have now undertaken out east. And here we are, almost 3 years after SaskTel attended that district planning meeting, and they haven't changed one thing. It's still a $1 million DSL build with speeds of 5 or 10. I understand that SaskTel says a positive business case could not be made for them to proceed with the installation on their own. And that's why they have the community participation program. But the fact remains that our ratepayers are basically being asked to subsidize a crown corporation in order for it to capture market share. As a successful business owner in this district for almost 15 years, my husband and I conceptualized and built two of the three businesses we owned. If we had thought they were not going to be profitable, we would have never proceeded. I fully understand the difficulties of operating a business in a seasonal resort community, but I can't think of another business model that would ask, if you give me $1 million, then I'll think about it. So what about the Ross Ethiers in our community? What about these types of local business? How is enforcing a $20,000 levy on a local business supporting them when he has absolutely no intention of using what is being offered? He has obviously already made alternate arrangements for adequate service years ago at his own expense. He said he wouldn't even be able to run an irrigation system with the technology that SaskTel is offering. And ironically, if this deal goes ahead, his neighbors in Keystone, right across the highway, could very well end up piggybacking off our infrastructure after not having to contribute a cent. Then we could discuss whether internet access is deemed an essential service. And we have heard directly from SaskTel that it is not. I would argue that our priority should focus on roads, policing, garbage and recycling, utilities like our lagoon, maintaining public spaces, boat launches and beaches, and being good stewards to help care for the quality of our lakes. So is this really a decision council should be making on behalf of our ratepayers? At the end of the day, access to internet is a consumer choice. Each person can choose who they wish to purchase their services from and what they are willing to pay. I find it both interesting and ironic that one of the speakers at yesterday's public meeting was a past member of this council. And he actually sat at this table a mere 6 months ago. And yet he questioned both the district's tendering and public notice policy. Not only was he involved at the preliminary stages of this proposal, but he would also have been involved in the vote that sent that August survey out. So I would suggest it's a little too late to cry wolf. It is the council at this table right now that is left dealing with the results. I received a flurry of emails after yesterday's meeting wrapped up, and one of them was from the counselor for my division, who I replaced just last fall. I'll quote just a portion of it. John and I were originally in favor of the SaskTel proposal, but we are not really informed about all the technologies out there. We feel now it would not be fair to put this cost on so many people if they can't use it and they already have a system in place. We are hoping council will change their mind and not proceed with it. End quote. So this is now two members of the previous council who are expressing their opposition to a proposal that was initiated during their term. Everyone who wanted to speak at yesterday's public meeting was given the same opportunity, yet I would say 95% of them spoke out against this proposal. So I am asking all of you to reconsider your vote to spend $1 million on a proposal so archaic that it can't even meet the 50-10 criteria for a federal grant. And I don't believe it meets the wants or needs of a majority of our ratepayers.
Thanks, Tina. Cheryl?
Yep. Reid Plessel, fellow counselors, ratepayers. I would like to begin by stating that I believe that there was absolutely no ill intent by any council member to push this SaskTel proposal through. I believe that every councillor voted the way they did because they truly believed in the importance of providing reliable internet for the entire district, and at the time options were limited. I also believe we need to somehow improve our communication to our ratepayers so that they have a full picture of what we are doing. I would like to recap my interpretation of what we have faced over the past few months. We were handed a very difficult and controversial decision to make early in our term. The information presented to ratepayers and in turn results given to us were flawed. We kept trying to correct the information and get the word out, but it was difficult to reach everyone. We were left with a very close result from the survey, and we tried to take into consideration comments from ratepayers, both for and against, as well as those that changed their response. The survey was only one piece of our decision making, and we cannot assume that the survey results were in question due to the flaws pointed out, which made our decision even harder. Hindsight is 2020. If I knew back in October that we could push our decision out a couple of months, I would have pushed for a new clear survey to be sent out. But I naively thought 30 days meant 30 days. We were given a 30-day extension to allow us to try to get all the information we needed. I believe we all tried to find the answers and seek out solutions that would meet the needs of everyone. We asked for a user pay option and were turned down. As the municipality that does not own or operate the service, we do not have the option to implement a user pay method, as we do not, nor should we know who subscribes to that service. We contacted the broadband fund to see if we could qualify for funding. We asked for a quote for fiber, as many ratepayers said we should not settle for old technology, but it was too expensive. I saw problems with SaskTel's proposal. We were never happy with the 10-1 proposal. However, we were verbally told that they typically upgrade to 50-10 about 1 year after they launch. Again, I naively thought that we would have a 50-10 internet for the price of a 10-1 build within a couple of years. When we asked for them to put it in writing, they said they would not. They then talked about it depends on usage demands, SaskTel plans, etc. We were initially led to believe that it would be a 1 year build with potentially some areas needing the next construction year to complete. In the latest MOU, they indicate they will do their best to complete it in 2 years. We also requested to submit the Anglin Lake build under the Rapid Fund. They indicated they could not even commit to completing a build for 139 properties to be completed next year. We got mixed messages, like sometimes it's more feasible to upgrade to fiber than 50-10. We were told that 50-10 build could be approximately $600,000 more. We were told that a fiber build could be twice as much as a DSL. When the quote came back, it was 9 times the cost, and they would not be able to have anything ready for the broadband fund application deadline. They also alluded to a better deal, which we did not see. I am not convinced that SaskTel really wants to work with us. I am definitely not comfortable with SaskTel insisting we market their services. I do not think it was any of our intentions to be marketing anyone's internet services, or rather provide options for reliable internet for our ratepayers. Times have changed. Since we made the initial decision, Starlink has entered into beta testing considerably earlier than anyone anticipated. When we started, SaskTel was the only provider that would provide a wired system. But as of this month, ExploreNet has expressed intent to propose doing a partial fiber to home build with user pay model, which we definitely need more information on. We have followed process, which includes the public meeting yesterday. We cannot forget there are still a significant number of ratepayers that do not have reliable internet, and we need to seek out possible solutions for them. With the SaskTel proposal being at least 2 years out, I believe this gives us time. Look how much has changed in 6 months. We need to start over. I believe we need a comprehensive review of all possibilities for reliable internet in the area. I am committed to having that service for all ratepayers, but I believe the proposal before us will not meet the needs of our community.
Thank you, Councilor McMillan. Doug, are you on the line?
Yeah, I'm here. Well, the way I look at it, it would be a disservice to not bring in wired high-speed internet for $600. if somebody comes down 10 years from now and says, you mean we could have had high-speed internet wired for $600 and we didn't do it? What's wrong? I'll just leave it at that.
Thank you, Councillor Opdahl. Councillor Sawchuk.
Being new to council in September of 2020, the DSL project was already introduced. The letter had been sent out. After researching and talking to SaskTel, they seemed the best option to get internet that is reliable and available to everyone at the time. I was not aware of any other provider offering hardwired internet service. I was told by SaskTel that this was the most reliable and the speed would remain constant to a residence no matter how many users are coming out of the cabinet and whatever the weather happened to be. I felt this was the best option for Lakeland as internet service for many ratepayers is very painful or none at all. I wanted internet that was reliable and affordable for everyone that needed it, not just a privileged few that are lucky enough to have good internet based on their location or their proximity to a tower. Regarding the survey, it was so close, it was hard to favor either way, and it didn't really have anything to do with our decision. SaskTel is in a very high competitive and changing market, but for some reason, they are refusing to change for Lakeland. Markets have changed since 2018 when this proposal was first presented and has changed significantly in the last few months. The MOU was not available to council at the February 8th meeting, and I felt very, very strongly that SaskTel would come back with a 5010 proposal for install. I was unable to apply for the Universal Broadband Fund as SaskTel was not offering enough speed. 10 and 1 is not acceptable in today's world. SaskTel also declined to attend our public meeting yesterday. I felt that was very disrespectful and we needed to hear their voice.
That's it, Mary. Thank you very much. Councillor Rudolph?
I was in on about, I can't remember when, but in the beginning when they brought in natural gas into Anglin Lake. I paid for it then. Did not use it for a number of years. When I got it, when I upgraded my cabin and got the, I didn't have to pay for anything going to the cabin. I didn't pay for anything until I got my meter on. SaskTel is doing the same thing. They want you to pay for it now, and eventually they will give you the upgrade. And I don't see that we could let it go. That's it.
Well, I guess I will speak again here. I won't lie to any of you if I haven't been peppered here lately. I took a lot of calls, a lot of emails, some I've sent, passed on, some I haven't. And I guess I feel that is partly my responsibility to step in. And I was there with last council, maybe not in this chair, but sitting here today under this chair. My vote was, and I made that very clear, that I would probably not get it, but it was for the good of all the community. Knowing that, and knowing back, looking at everything now, I think back, is that actually the way a guy should have thought? Knowing that, you know, what do we have, 900 people maybe that live here on a permanent basis? And that basically puts about, I don't know what their population is, but I'd say that about 70-some percent of people are seasonal. So in my sleepless night last night, I kept thinking, boy, would I like that if somebody was gonna put that bill on me and never use it? And I again thought about, is this actually an essential service? And are we getting what we asked for? Because that seemed to change, as you said, Cheryl, several times in our discussions. Because I had first thought that it was gonna be 50-1 in my speaking with Kevin. And I mean, as we found out, it isn't exactly that way. And I do believe still the service would be a good one. There is plenty of people still that I believe although they did not speak yesterday, there's probably still lots out there that wanted to move forward. But I think knowing what we know and getting the feeling from the council here, we maybe need to do some homework. And that may be, as some of you have said, maybe we do redo the survey and hopefully we get a better understanding of what the people's needs are. And maybe move from there, even though we can, we'll put this on hold. I don't want to rush into anything. We've made some quick decisions. Yes, we've made a decision to move this forward. We heard the public hearing. But again, I think we just need to just maybe slow it down a notch and have more discussion on it. Councilor McMillan?
I would like to make a motion that we rescind our motion, and I believe I have to do this because I made the motion, to proceed with the Saskatchewan proposal at this time, and that we set up a committee with council and ratepayer participation to review all our options and facilitate the live internet in the district.
Do you want to read that out again?
Generally, if we could divide it into two motions.
Sure.
First, yeah, a motion to rescind, and then a go forward.
Sure.
Okay.
Yep.
Can I ask for recorded votes on both, please?
What was that motion number?
Sorry. It was just February. Was it February?
No, it was November. Wasn't it?
January.
Are you rescinding the first reading of the bylaw?
No.
I made
the motion that we execute the MOU. Saskatchewan MOU was on the agenda for.
Was it the Saskatchewan proposal?
No, that one we declined.
Sorry.
I've got it right here.
Okay.
It was. There it is. It is resolution number 21-18. 2021-01. 2021 meeting. Recorded vote. All that.
All those in favor of Councillor McMillan's motion
to rescind
the proposal or the motion of the MOU, what was it?
MOU, rescind motion number 2021-18 authorizing the MOU.
Okay, you heard that from Tommy. All those in favor of rescinding that? That's your vote.
And against? Doug, I need to know your vote. And what?
Okay, now we're unmuted.
Okay.
There you go.
And were you for that motion?
What was the motion again?
To rescind the motion to authorize the MOU.
So this is now canceled? Is that what's going on?
Yeah.
Four have voted in favor. I haven't voted yet.
I refuse to vote.
Okay, so abstaining is recorded as a negative.
Okay.
Okay, so the second, what was your second?
So the second is that we set up a committee with council and ratepayer participation to review all our options to facilitate reliable internet in the district.
Are you looking at, were you thinking of members or all members?
I think it can be represented. I don't think of, unless people want everyone or, I think it's just participation, whether it's.
I would think any participation on a committee would support that.
Okay, so.
Can we decide on the mechanics of that, the march?
Yeah, for sure. Think about it.
The march meeting?
Can I get to the end of one?
Oh, for sure. That we set up a committee with council and ratepayer participation to review all of our options to facilitate reliable internet in the district.
Are you, no timeline?
I think that to be discussed at March to figure out the mechanics of how we would gain participation and how we.
Okay.
You want to vote on that as well?
I don't get to ask for a recorded vote, so you know, no other councillors want a recorded vote.
No, he's just asking, we need to call for a vote on that.
On the other motion for the forward.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay, all those in favor of that process? You need something done on that?
No, that's not important. That carried out.
Okay.
All right. Well, take another look at it, you guys. Your goal.
Okay, so I will advise Hostel that they will not be given the sign.
Yes.
Okay. And women's doing. Okay. Having completed all items on the agenda, the meeting closed at 10:45.
Thank you, everyone, and all those listening on the conference call or Zoom call. Thank you, Council. Never an easy day in here.
We have all kinds of them between Council.